This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, what's happening to honeybees and why we should be concerned about more than just the supply of honey. We'll also get a forecast coming up from meteorologist Scott Oltoff. First, a look at today's news. A major segment of land along the middle fork of the Vermilion River became publicly owned yesterday. Dynegy transferred ownership of the 1,100-acre site to the State Department of Natural Resources, which plans to open it up for recreation. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Dynegy gave up the land as part of its settlement of an 8-year-old federal air pollution lawsuit. The land lies on the east bank of the Middle Fork and will become part of the adjacent Kickapoo State Park. Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Marceline Love says they hope to open the land to the public later this year.
We are very hopeful that the property will be open for our fall hunting season, so that is something that we are planning for at this time.
The land parcel lies along 2 miles of the Middle Fork. It's primarily wooded, although some land has been leased out for farming. Glynis Collins of the Prairie Rivers Network says the state's acquisition of the land means land along all 17 miles of the Middle Fork is now publicly owned, either by the state or by Vermilion County. The Middle Fork of the Vermilion River is the only river in Illinois to be federally protected as a wild and scenic river. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Governor Rob Blagojevich's proposal for a new tax on Illinois businesses has taken a hit in the state legislature. Yesterday, 3 Democratic senators announced they oppose the $6 billion tax plan. Senators William Delgado, Martin Sandoval, and Antonio Munoz put out a statement saying they want to debate other possibilities. The governor has proposed a new tax that would apply to nearly all Illinois business transactions. He says business should pay a bigger role in Illinois taxes. He wants to use the money for education and health care. The 3 senators applaud his goals but question the tax proposal. They suggest a plan to raise income and sales taxes while lowering local property taxes. Illinois voters are a step closer to heading to the polls earlier. The Illinois House has voted to move the primary election up 6 weeks starting next year. The February 5th date would place the state among the earlier primaries. House Speaker Mike Madigan, who's also the Illinois Democratic Party chairman, says it benefits U.S. Senator Barack Obama's presidential bid in the short term, while giving the state's voters more of a say nationally in future elections.
Well, I think that it will help Illinois because we will be participating in the selection process. It'll help Obama because I think he'll do well in Illinois. And I know that there are other states such as New York that are doing the same thing.
Republicans also got on board with the legislation, saying the change could also help their party in choosing presidential nominees. Opponents have argued it will result in a more lengthy general election campaign, which makes it even more expensive to run for office. The new primary date appears to have the needed support in the Illinois Senate, and the governor has already said he'll sign it into law. College health centers around the country are coming to terms with sudden steep price hikes for oral contraceptives. But the University of Illinois' McKinley Health Center might have a tougher problem than most. That's because the annual fee that covers students' use of the center also covers most of the cost of prescription drugs. Medical Director Dr. David Lawrence says it leaves McKinley with the choice of either boosting co-pays when women buy birth control pills or absorbing the cost elsewhere. He estimates it's a $1.5 million expense. Lawrence says the price hike may be especially hard for students who rely solely on McKinley's pharmacy.
Pretty much the graduate students just cover the student insurance plan. They don't have a second policy unless they have a working spouse, in which case they might. But a lot of the undergraduates have a second insurance plan. I mean, either their primary insurance plan is not the student insurance plan or they have a second one that would pick it up.
Lauren says drug companies stopped giving college health centers steep discounts on contraceptives back in January when new Medicaid rules went into effect and incentives for those companies went away. He hopes to determine McKinley's next step within a month. After 5 years, there will not be a 6th World Freefall Convention in Rantoul. Organizer Don Curlin cites logistical and personal reasons for canceling the skydiving event, which attracted about 800 skydivers to the former Chanute Air Force Base last summer. Attendance had hit 2,800 the first year it moved to Rantoul from Quincy. Village Administrator David Johnston says Rantoul is disappointed by the announcement, but the financial loss to the village may be relatively minor.
They would have their own little store and their own little, couple restaurants were invited to set up tents so they could feed. You know, there was probably very little traffic from the skydivers themselves outside of the confines of the airport, but other people would come into town, you know, and would get the sales tax benefit of that.
The Freefall Convention's director, Beth Mallow, says Midwest skydivers have more options now than when they did when the convention began in Rantoul. She also says last year's event was a financial flop because of rain and fewer jumps. The event had a dark side. 5 skydivers were killed in accidents over its 5-year run in Rantoul. Roger Ebert will hand off the hosting duties to other people at next month's Ebert Fest in Champaign, as he continues to recover from complications of cancer surgery, but Ebert continues to pick the movies that'll be shown at the annual festival at the Virginia Theater. The 9th edition of the festival takes place April 25th through the 29th. Festival passes sold out months ago, but tickets for individual movie showings will go on sale April 6th. And Ebert Fest's assistant director, Mary Susan Britt, says you can always try to get in at the last minute by lining up before showtime for a rush ticket.
And you can go wait in line about 30 minutes before the beginning of a film. And if there are any seats left, they will rush and sell those tickets and get people in to see the film. And we've been successful every year in getting everybody in that's waited in line.
This year, the onstage guests for Ebert Fest include Werner Herzog and Alan Rickman. The German director and the Harry Potter cast member are both scheduled to appear in connection with showings of their lesser-known films. University of Illinois alumnus Andy Davis will be a guest for a showing of his family movie, Holes. And Roger Ebert's own screenwriting talents will be exposed in a showing of the X-rated spoof Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Millions of honeybees across the country are dying mysteriously. Entire hives or colonies of bees are collapsing. Scientists say it's a new threat. They're scrambling to find answers. As Bob Allen of the Environment Report tells us, bees are crucial in pollinating billions of dollars worth of crops every spring.
That fresh, crisp apple you bite into for lunch comes from a bee pollinating an apple blossom. But honeybees in the U.S. are under tremendous stress. A new threat is devastating them. It can wipe out entire colonies. There's plenty of honey still left in the hives to feed the bees, but the bees have vanished. Scientists are baffled. They're calling it colony collapse disorder. Dennis Van Engelsdorp is bee inspector for the state of Pennsylvania. He says the disorder first showed up in his state last fall, but it's now threatening the entire beekeeping industry.
We could not sustain the level of loss we're seeing this year, several years in a row. And there are crops that are 90 to 100% reliant on honeybees for pollination. You need bees for apples, and if you don't have bees, you don't have apples.
A research team at Penn State University has given themselves until fall to come up with some answers. On a hilly farm in northern Michigan, Julius Kolarik raises apples, cherries, and honeybees. It's a sunny day with the temperature nudging near 50 degrees.
So, no, it's a beautiful day for bees. Makes you feel good when you see bees flying, and makes me feel good. So,
this is the first time Kolarik has checked his bee yard since last fall. He uses his hive tool to pry the top off each 3-foot-high colony to see how the bees are doing.
We can see that they're alive, and that's the main thing. Yeah, they may get after you.
It used to be considered an embarrassment if a beekeeper lost more than 10% or so of his bees annually. But things have gotten a lot tougher in recent years. Parasitic mites have infested honeybees just about everywhere. They've weakened the bees and left them vulnerable to diseases. And that's meant annual losses double what they used to be. Now on top of that, there's this new disorder. But Julius Kolarik is not so sure how new it is. He's been raising honeybees since he was a kid.
We've seen some of the same symptoms through the years. Even before we finally said that we have mites, we were getting unexplained losses. But now it's come back again. For other years, guys have lost whole yards, but left 1 or 2 hives.
Bee researchers say previous outbreaks of colony collapse were isolated incidents. This time, it's spread across the country. Tom McCormick's small beekeeping operation supplies honey to local markets in western Pennsylvania. That is, it did until 2 years ago. That's when he says collapsing disorder killed half his colonies. So he bought more bees to replace them. They did okay last year, but this spring, he's looking at an 80% loss.
To me, it doesn't make sense to go buy more bees and throw them right back into the same situation without any idea what the cause is.
McCormick says two of his beekeeping friends have been totally wiped out, and they've been seeing more than one thing going on in their hives.
One, we see hives full of honey and no bees, totally gone. We see other situations where we have a nice large cluster of bees with honey all surrounding them, and the bees dead.
When he reported this 2 years ago, he says, state officials ignored him. Pennsylvania State Bee Inspector Dennis Van Engelsdorp admits he thought McCormick had a serious mite problem at first. But now researchers at Penn State University are checking other possible environmental stresses that could be killing honeybees. Van Engelsdorp says pinpointing the cause, or combination of causes, can be just as difficult with bees as it is with humans.
You can get a heart attack if you don't eat well, if you drink too much, if you smoke. You're genetically disposed to a heart attack. It could be one of those factors. It can be a lot of those factors combining together.
For this year, he says, the disorder means the number of honeybee colonies will be lower, but he expects there to be enough to meet pollination demands. For the Environment Report, I'm Bob Allen.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Our temperatures may get around to more spring-like conditions rather than the early summer we've been seeing the past few days. Our meteorologist, Scott Olthoff, says today we'll see highs ranging from around 50 near Lake Michigan to 76 in southwest Illinois, with a mostly cloudy day in northern and central Illinois and Indiana, cool with isolated showers and a few thunderstorms. In the south, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Tonight, mostly cloudy across the two states with a few scattered showers in the far west. Lows ranging from around 40 in northeast Indiana to 60 in southwest Illinois. And for tomorrow, in Illinois, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms, especially in the west, partly sunny in Indiana. The highs ranging from 50 near Lake Michigan to 75 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.